5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I might have a sex change.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That might make it into the start.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Yes. Oh, it's Friday. We love Friday. Big star cast coming your way on the Rush Hour. Mickey Barlow, star of Fremantle, of course, and now of the Gold Coast Suns. Broken his leg a couple of times, but a very good man. We're looking forward to chatting to him. He's in shortly. Also a suburban song, and it might be somewhere down St Kilda way, so you'll enjoy that. And then 180. Simon the Wizard Whitlock comes in. Of course, the darts on tonight, so we're looking forward to that. And then we speak to Chris Judd, because the Friday Huddle are heading into the Judd Cave again tonight to broadcast exclusively out of his Brighton mansion. So we're going to find out what's going to happen there too. I'm here, Leroy's here, Mickey Barlow not too far away, and old fat man, where are you, please?
G'day, Jimmy boy. I'm over here in Adelaide, of course. Big game tonight, Adelaide and Sydney, 1v5.
Yes.
Fair to say, whoever wins tonight's game, Jim, will probably be premiership favourites.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because if Adelaide win, then they'll keep Sydney out of the top four, which will be a good result for them. But also, they'll almost be two games clear. The other mob, if they can beat Adelaide at home, Bill, they are stamped.
They are.
Premiership, well, maybe you're right, favourites. And now, how did you go last night, old back it up, Brownless?
Back it up, Brownless. Oh, mate, how magnificent I was, Jim.
Were you?
Unbelievable I was, wasn't I, Leroy?
This dog's only got three legs.
I've got three legs. Hello, dog. We're just waiting for a drive-by. Looking around. But here we are, Monique. You've won all these prizes.
Who do they barrack for, mate?
I didn't know that. Get stuffed. You're going to win nothing.
There it is, Jim.
Sounded crisp. I've got three legs. So you just went back to the old favourite, Bill, did you?
One
early that you knew you could tuck away and it'd work.
The old tripod, Jim, as I was known as a kid growing up.
That's the one.
Old tripod Brownless. Anyway, great to see you. Great to see the listeners. Oh, I can't, but anyway, great to hear from them. And you too, Leroy.
Good evening, everybody.
Do you know who that is, Jim?
That sounded like Rodney Roode at the end.
No, that's Mrs. Brown. She's a naughty, naughty. That's the one I like. It's on Channel 7.
Yes.
And she does it live. She does some of her shows. She's very funny. Very naughty, Jim.
Nice, Bill. Now, have we got anything by way of footy news?
Well, the big news last night, of course, Damo. You should have seen old Damo. His glasses were fogged up.
All good.
He didn't know where he was going. His head was spinning last night.
Nice.
Because he had the Chris Yaron story broke during the day.
Yes.
Which was a sad story where he was on ice and ice ruined his life. Now he's found God. So good luck to you, Chris, on that, of course. And then he'd sat down with Rod Butters the night before, Jim.
Yep.
And actually had a very, very good chat, he said. And here's some of it with Damo and Rod Butters.
Did you make St Kilda Football Club decisions while you were on alcohol and drugs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got to put my hand up and say that as an alcoholic during that period, albeit high functioning, there were times when I had to make, you know, decisions about people's welfare that, you know, in hindsight, I'm ashamed that I wasn't in the best possible shape to make those decisions. I think the whole Malcolm Blight thing was, catastrophic from the outset, and it was just an immature decision. We got caught up in the hype, and we got caught up in Malcolm's charm and charisma, and then 16 weeks later, we shit ourselves and fired him. And even the part about letting Malcolm go could have been done a lot more tastefully and with dignity. And it should have been. The guy's a legend of the game.
And we had Nick Riewoldt on the panel, Jim.
Yep.
And he found that very, very hard to listen to, Nick, because he wasn't aware of... Oh, I think he's aware of it, but not early. These are early days. And Malcolm Blight, remember that? They went over to Adelaide, went to a Chinese restaurant or something, and didn't they give him an empty check and just say, just sign what you want here?
I must admit, Bill, that's 2001, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was in England doing the Ashes. So I wasn't, it was one of the, about the only footy season I've missed almost in its entirety in the last 30. So I was, I remember I was at, you know, Old Trafford or somewhere like that when Tim Lane came up to me and said, they've sacked Malcolm Blight. I could not believe what he said. I said, mate, you've got to be joking.
Yeah.
So they only had 10 games into the season. He said, mate, I'm telling you, they've sacked him.
Well, mate, he's made a call when he was alcoholic, as he said, and on drugs, to one, to appoint Malcolm Blight on a very, very, very good wicket. And then 16 games later, they sack him, mate. That is unbelievable. I know a couple of past coaches weren't happy with the interview, Jim, let me tell you, Grant Thomas being one.
Right, okay.
Don't know what he said over there today, but he wasn't happy. So it caused a bit of a stir, that one, last night. Don't worry about that. What is it with presidents? What, you're all on cocaine, are you, Jim?
Not to my knowledge, Bill, but having said that, there were times in the commission president's meetings when a couple of them spoke up, and I assumed they must have been on something, Bill, because what the hell was coming out of their mouth? Stephen Kernahan and I used to sit in the back, look at each other and go, have you got any understanding of anything that just came out of that person's mouth? But no, Bill, I don't think, I think it's fair to say, given that particular group of people, that the answer to that would be categorically no.
Well, knowing Frank Costa, I don't think he
might Bill. I think no across the board is a fairly safe assumption.
I've been with you a couple of times, and I really doubt you. But anyway, Hawthorn coach Alistair Clarkson says Jago O'Meara's recovery from last Saturday's VFL comeback, he only played one game, of course, Jim, was so impressive that he was compelled to play him this weekend in the seniors. That's a big, big rise, isn't it?
Yep. Not too highly credentialed player, so you'd think you'd get him in as quick as you can.
Hasn't played for a long time, Jim, and just plays one game. Yep. Josh, you heard it first, this, by the way, on the Rush Hour yesterday,
Jim. What
did
that actually mean?
You heard it first, this story.
Right, yes.
Josh Dacos about to play for the Collingwood side against Geelong.
Yep.
We went with that early yesterday, Jim.
Did you, Bill?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You did, yeah.
You know what gave it away?
What?
When about three Collingwood players shook his hand at training.
You reckon that was enough?
Old Inspector Clouse was onto it.
Someone must have told you that.
Old Inspector was onto it, Jim.
Clouse, I think that's what he said. Just dig that up, Leroy.
That's Inspector Clouse. Yeah. And Essendon has suffered a big blow ahead of its clash. Yes. What about that? Hurley out for with a calf, Jim. Now, we know a calf injury is not 1 week. It could be two, three or four. That is a big, big injury there, my friend.
If Robbie Tarrant wasn't already guaranteed of All Australian selection, he is now. And Robbie so he should Tarrant. Be. It'll be nice. Now, Bill, have you had enough? Is that enough news? Because Mickey Barlow's banging the door down. We need to get him in.
Spills free. Here's a chance. Kick off goal. Barlow. I think he's got it. Mickey Barlow.
A great friend of our shows, Bill, comes in whenever he can, of course.
He does.
Interstate player, formerly of Freo, and now doing a great job with the Gold Coast Suns. Michael, welcome to you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, we haven't seen you enough, purely for two reasons. One, because you're interstate, and two, because you're not playing.
Yes.
Now, this broken leg you have, which you just told me off air, is going beautifully. Where does that fit into your list of career injuries, given that you've had plenty?
Yeah, I said it wouldn't make the podium, but it would. It'd be probably the bronze medalist, I think. So my first broken leg was, takes the cake up there by the length of the straight. And then last year, my shoulder injury was really severe. Then this broken leg, but more so the ankle at the moment, which I'm just kind of getting on top of, but probably back up and running, hopefully, within 3 or 4 weeks.
So when you went down with this one, of course, earlier this season, you must have just thought, what the hell is going on? Like, lots of players go through their career never having anything like this, and now you've copped it again.
Yeah, there's probably some expletives going through the head and a bit of begrudgment. I have been commented on about how kind of calm I was on the way off, mainly because of the pain relief I'd probably received pretty quickly. And
the green sort of straw?
Yeah, but I did, on the way off on the cart, because I heard the snap of what I thought was probably both bones, but it was only the fibula in the end. And when I'd heard that, when I was on the cart, I was probably rationalising that could, you know, be the end of a career, and it's not the ideal way to go out. But everything since then has just been such fantastic news that I'll be back up and going, and looking forward to the next season.
I need to know some other good news, please, Mickey boy. When I was up there early in the year, we had a chat on Sunday Footy Show. Very good, too. And you're saying you were single, just on your own up there. It was a big Gold Coast. You just had, and you were looking around. How are things going now, say, 15 rounds down the track?
No, probably still similar. It's still a struggle for me. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But
it is, Mickey.
No, I'm enjoying it. The lifestyle up there is fantastic, and we're coming into the off season now, so maybe I can have a bit of a change in luck in that regard over the off season.
What is it like up there, mate? On the Gold Coast, you come across from Perth. They love their footy there, obviously. And up there on the Gold Coast, what's it like living? And then what's it like playing up there? Because you just can't seem to get a big crowd there. Yeah. And we hear, you know, it's the culture isn't great and all that. How have you found it?
Yeah, I've found the culture. I've been really strong in advocating the culture as being really strong and really, yep, really clean and really clear. Like, I've been, you know, really thrilled to walk into a club that has, I'm really adamant that everything's going on really well within the four walls culturally. However, yep, you know, the on-field stuff, we've really got to start to turn around. And you talk about the crowds. We're really of the opinion and very confident. You win games, you start to get people there. Like, it's as simple as that. We would have loved to have done it this year. And, you know, I'm as invested and motivated as anyone and the rest of the group are to make sure we can do that. And we will start to fill out Metricon, and people really begrudge that probably the professional sport on the Gold Coast, but I really feel it can work.
Rocket Ede, speaking very honestly on the Footy Show a couple of weeks ago, said he was disappointed in himself that he didn't speak to the players after his termination. How did you think as a player?
I probably didn't expect him to. It would have been a really tough night for, I think it was the Monday night for Rocket, unfortunately. To part ways with the Suns, and I think the whole playing group and the whole staff would have been more than happy to have him in the next day and have the chat. It might have just been too raw at the time. But, you know, I've reached out to him and had a chat, and, you know, he seems to be in a pretty good headspace, and a lot of the other players have done that as well. So,
did you as a playing group suspect it was going to happen? Did you have any line of sight that you thought maybe this is coming?
Yeah, you probably... Well, we were so aware of the football review that's been undertaken, which we've been really public as a club, and ensuring everyone kind of understands that, there's a wide-ranging review, playing, administration, medico, all that kind of stuff with Mark Evans coming in, and the most high-profile aspect of that was always going to be the senior coach, wasn't it? So when we weren't going well, and I think, we haven't had a good last couple of months. I mean, we've lost 8 of our last 9, and... probably, the feeling of the group that something might give it eventually. And, when it did, it wasn't a complete shock. We felt really disappointed, I suppose, because, you know, Rocket's the one that goes.
Yep.
But it's as a byproduct of the players not being able to deliver and the rest of it.
Is there any reason, Mickey Boy, that you have so, not you, but the team also have so many injuries up there? It seems to be a lot of injuries happen.
Yeah, well, I looked at it yesterday. I was just having a think about it. There's been a lot of contact ones. I mean, we've got had a couple of soft tissues. Gary and Aaron Hall's had a couple of hammies. But outside of that, we've had a few shoulders. Cal Archie, Jared Witts, myself, a broken leg. Sam Day, a horrific hip injury. And you know, he's probably... You start the season, one bloke you'd love to have available is Sam Day, because he can go either end of the ground, and he's big and he's strong. And we've missed that kind of, I suppose, enforcement role and that flexibility of that role all year. So I suppose you're having a little look at into the medicos, and that's getting reviewed. But I think we've had a little bit of bad luck in terms of the contact nature of some of the injuries.
And Big Lynchy, the skipper, it looks like it's taken a bit of a toll on him too. I mean, such a blissful young talent, and we all love the way he goes about it. The last 6 to 8 weeks, it just looks like it's starting, you know, the weight of it all starting to get to him.
Yeah, I'd agree. He doesn't, like, around the club, he's absolutely fantastic. The way he carries himself, he's a phenomenal leader and a phenomenal talent, as you say. And we haven't helped him out at all, having had the unfortunate responsibility of kind of watching for the last 2 months.
Yep.
You know, our delivery to him's been, you know, at the bottom end. We haven't helped in areas where we could have, but I think he's handled himself. His body language when things aren't going well is just absolutely phenomenal. Mm. And him and Stephen May are two of the main reasons I have such faith in this football club going forward, is because the maturity on those two blokes' shoulders, the leadership capacities they have, and the investment they have in the club is of the highest order. So it would be taking a toll on Stephen and Tom, and probably the end of the season can't come quick enough for them, because they've worn a lot of the brunt being out there every week. And we'd like to get out there and help him a bit more, and that's a lot of the summer will go into making sure we do that.
What about the little man, Gaz? You expect him to be there next year?
I think you've probably heard it enough, haven't you? The club line, he's a contracted player, so I couldn't see see why he'd be leaving.
Good answer.
And yeah, the guy.
And we don't want Bill's stinking mob. They've already got enough bloody players piling back there.
What do you think will happen? Will he want to go home to the magnificent city of Geelong or stay up there? Houses for sale?
The market's at the top, Bill, at the moment up there. So buy at the bottom, sell at the top. So he's doing well, Gary. And you'd know he's a stickler for his money. So he's finding it good.
He's still tight, is he?
Yeah, he is. My view, I suppose there'll be a lot of commentary on it for good people who are interested, people who are intrigued. But, my stance on it is, Gary's been great for the Suns and he's a contracted player. But as good as Gary's been for the Suns have been as good for Gary. So, I'm always of the opinion, every club I've played for, I've felt, a level of indebtedness to them for giving me opportunities for paying the wage and paying the mortgage and that kind of stuff and doing all that stuff. So that's my personal take on how I'd approach those situations.
So Bill, Michael Barlow goes to Assumption and speaks with this sort of class and eloquence and intelligence. What happened to you? Were you at any of the classes he was in?
I was rolling the wicket for cricket because I was the best all rounder at school.
You should have seen the cricket wicket up there. It was shocking. It had craters in it the size of.
That's it.
And Barlow was no good. Too slow at Assumption. Didn't play a lot of footy. And I was a goal kicker extraordinaire.
We'll take a little break with Michael Barlow while you rethink your answer. More with the champ after this. Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Joining us in the studio, still with us from the Gold Coast Suns, is Michael Barlow.
Now, we're just having a look at the vision of you coming off the ground on the stretcher when you did break your leg earlier in the year. And, of course, this is the second one you've done. And, you've been stoic in the face of both of them, unlike our mate Gary, who was horrendous on the stretcher and we laughed regularly at him. But you had the green stick in your mouth. Tell us what happens when you put that in there. How does that? That's an Australian invention, by the way, that's now all around the world.
I'll tell you a funny story. Jared Grant played the Neefel 2 weeks earlier, I reckon. And,
microphone head.
Yes,
old spindle shanks.
went off with a sprained knee and got on the green whistle, and he was right to play 2 weeks later. So I think he might have to have a look at his pain threshold. Yes. But anyway, we'll move on. I was a little bit pessimistic when I got given it. I was like, I would have done something
pretty
quite
serious
here. Yep. So it's probably the only time for that fleeting moment I thought, geez, I hope I've done something bad because I'm stopping the game and I've got the. But yeah, pretty much you take a big suck of it and you just go pretty loopy and by the time I got to the change room, I was watching the game on the screen and taking the proverbial PI55 out of the game because
we
went from up to down and I was like, oh, clearly I've
clearly
the reason here, and everyone around me was quite somber because we were starting to lose and. I couldn't have been happier.
So the pain actually goes? It almost
pain
evaporates?
Pain goes. I don't reckon, even the first time I did it, can't remember being in too much pain until you wake up from the surgery and put your legs over the bed the next day, and that comes crashing down right then.
Ooh. Pity you haven't got a gym the way you've been carrying on
couple
of days.
I could have done
with foot.
The bloody thing. Exactly right. I might have to ask for that next time.
What are you doing in town, by the way, Mickey boy? I see you're playing a Gold Coast game this weekend, so you're playing at home. Mm. I see you got the management team.
The entourage. Have a go at them.
What's the type of flog are you?
I-50 management. They've been good. I've just been on the circuit this week. Have you been away all week? I've been picking up a few gigs, doing a little bit, expanding the brand. But no, the Suns, they've been great to me. I suppose, like most AFL clubs, I reckon when someone goes through a pretty severe injury and can't get back for the year, they give you a week to get away. So I've seen some family, been down to Warrnambool, seen the older brothers, the sister, all that. Shepherd's a bit, mum and dad are up that way. They're actually going to the Gold Coast today. So I'm going to go back to the Gold Coast tonight. So get out of your hair, because this weather's garbage, isn't it?
Catch up with the girlfriend up there. That'd be good.
Yeah,
hey, good. You still got a curfew up there at the Gold Coast?
Not so much. No, we have probably the standard drinking policies that apply, but no curfew as such.
Are you allowed in the Gold Coast these days, actual Cavill Avenue Cavill and all that?
No, we find the more niche spots to go. Broadbeach, Billy, where I've seen you probably or twice around that Magic Millions time, I think I saw. Billy really carrying on. The shirt might have been down around the belly button. But it's more, we'll find our little spots. But Cavill Ave, I reckon I've been in there maybe only once or twice.
Who goes to a joint called Hollywood's up there, Mickey Boy?
I've seen the billboards. I haven't seen the venue.
He's got his own seat in there, and there's a souvlaki bar just on the outside. And once he's finished with those two things, you can't go near him for 48 hours.
Jim, who did I go to Hollywood's with?
Campbell Brown.
You were up there like Jackie.
And Jeff Rain's son. What was it?
Andrew Rain.
Andrew Rain.
He runs the Talent Academy up there. I might have to get into him.
There was some talent.
Tell me, Mickey, the lifestyle up there, Mickey, because we've all got this stupid idea that you either train, as hard as any of the other players in any other club, but then the rest of the time you just grab hold of your towel, throw it over your shoulder and go and sit on the beach. What do you actually do? Is it golf? What's the lifestyle?
There is a few golfers. There is a bit of beach time, I suppose. We're very fortunate for the climate up there that we can duck down there. Golfers. Got a lot of boys at uni still, and we drive that pretty hard, the off-field stuff, and I think it's an area we can get better as a club to get guys doing really meaningful professional development, because I've seen when our really successful times at Frio where Matthew Pavlich is doing an MBA and really extending themselves outside of the game, so that's an area I think we can get a lot better. We have got a lot of guys studying and that kind of stuff, but could probably get a little bit better at it, but golf courses, beaches, I don't think they have a too negative effect on performance.
All right, a couple of Dorothy Dixes before we let you go. Who wins the Brownlow?
Dustin Martin.
Clearly?
He's
clearly the best player.
Dangerfield?
He's rubbed out, isn't he? Can't win it.
Thank you, Bill.
But who wins it with the most votes?
Martin.
And the grand final will be played between whom?
I like a smoke. I like Sydney, Port Adelaide. I just feel I'd love to see GWS win for one reason, two reasons. Matt DeBoer and Tennai Mazunga, two of my good mates, to go over there and get another chance after being given the old heave ho from Fremantle last year to stand on the dice would be. I wrote an article this week for the AFL Players Association. Nice. Read that; it's an emotional story about Matt DeBoer playing his 150 this week. So I'd like to see them win it, but I feel Sydney will.
Port Adelaide is a big call.
Yeah, it is.
They look as wobbly to me as any team in the eight.
Probably haven't watched footy for a couple of weeks, but no, I think when we played them in China, that was as good as we played.
Yeah,
only go on who have played. Like the Bulldogs last year. If you hit a little purple patch, anything can happen.
That is true.
You're still doing your podcast?
I am. It's going well. We'll have to get you on, Bill.
Out of Bounds?
Yeah, Out of Bounds podcast. Go to iTunes. My Twitter, I think, has a handle to it. All going well. So continue to do that, which is probably, as I talked to you before, stimulates me off the field. And when you're injured, gives you something to occupy your mind.
All right, mate. I'll do it. $5,000. Hey, what about who would you like to be coaching you and the Gold Coast Suns next year? Who would you like?
I haven't given it a huge amount of thought. I'll leave, the expertise of Mark Evans and the selection panel to have a good look at it. I've been really impressed by the time. I've known Dean Solomon for a long time and the way he's developed as a coach and a person. I've said it a lot. I think his passion and desire for the Gold Coast Suns, he's a Gold Coast Suns person, and we've got a lot of people up there that are really invested and passionate about the place. So, I'd love to have Solly get the main job because he just speaks with such passion and he wants us to get better, not for him, but for everyone who's been involved in the club for a long time and the town and all that kind of stuff. So probably a bit biased, but Solly would be nice.
All right. Good answer. We need to let Mickey go, Bill. So shut up for a second. Good luck with the injury for a start getting yourself back for day one of preseason. Yeah. Good luck with the new coach and the club for next year.
Yeah. No, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
We're doing something called What Have You Seen Unusual, Bill?
Oh,
all right.
That's unusual.
It's a nice Friday one.
Yes,
and I'm telling you what I saw unusual. I was driving along Beaconsfield Parade the other day, and this car in front was being driven so horrifically, and the sun was shining on the back of the car, so I couldn't quite see. Yeah. Right lane, stop, go, with nothing in front of it. I'm looking at it going, what is wrong with you? What's anyway, as I got closer to it, I realised that there was a great big yellow L on the back.
L-plater.
So you always cut L-plater slack, though the car was in the wrong lane and doing the wrong thing. But right, that's an L-plater, Bill. That's a different set of circumstances.
That's right.
So anyway, I thought, but I am getting out of this car's way, so I went into the left-hand lane to go past it.
Ooh, zip past anyway, on the
Bill,
inside.
As I'm doing that, I look across, and the young lady driving the car, if she was advanced of 14, it would be by a day. It was just so amazingly young, the driver, with the adult sitting next.
Yeah, well,
so
that's not 17.
Bill, couldn't be. It couldn't be 17. Anyway, that's not the unusual bit. The unusual bit was the baby in the baby seat in the back.
A baby in a baby seat in the back.
Bill, 18-month-old, you know, where the seat's actually facing the wrong way because they're not old enough to actually sit up normally. Yeah. So as I'm parked, I'm looking across, and there's this baby in the back seat, and I'm thinking, is that even allowed?
I don't know. I don't think that is, Jim.
Well, I don't know if it is or not, but certainly the way this very young lady was driving, if it was my baby, I'd be overly comfortable with it being in the back. But I thought to myself, self, that's unusual.
Bloody oath.
Anyway, hit it, Leroy.
Seen a cow chewing a bit of grass with a leg growing out of his ear.
I just saw a bloke carrying a plant on a motorbike.
I was just travelling on the Monash outbound on a Friday afternoon, and I looked down at the speedo, 100k.
Yes, I love that one. So, Bill, what have you seen unusual? Nice, simple Friday one.
You know what I've seen unusual, Jim?
What have you seen unusual?
Well, I'm looking down the running sheet today, and guess what? It's a Friday.
No topics, Brownless.
No idiot file.
What?
Which tells me.
Matty.
You know what that tells me, Jim?
Matty's shaking his head like he's got that much backed up. He just couldn't be asked putting it together.
That tells me that, Bill, you've been very, very good this week.
I wouldn't have thought
so. Well done, Bill. Also, Jim, drive around the city of Melbourne, great city of Melbourne, the most livable city, Jim. If I see another yellow bike just dumped in every bloody street around the joint, I'll throw up.
They are all over the place.
What is going on?
People aren't parking them properly.
Oh, they just dump them anywhere they want. Those yellow bikes get stuffed.
All right,
is unusual, Jim.
133353. What have you seen unusual? Calls next. What have you seen unusual? Is what we're doing. Marco's in Geelong to kick us off. Hello, Marco.
How's it going, boys?
Yeah, we're going beautifully, mate. How are you?
Oh, good. Now I've knocked off.
That's the way. Enjoy your weekend, mate. You've earned it. Now, what have you seen unusual?
Oh, driving up from Geelong today up to Melbourne. There was a car in the left lane, just looked across, and she's doing the driver, the young female, doing her makeup, putting the foundation on with the brush, the whole gear, and look in the back seat, and there's a young 18-month-old baby in the back in the car seat.
Now, you got to worry about the makeup thing, don't you?
Well, she nearly ran up the arse of a truck.
Oh, no.
And she was going about it. She was sitting on 100 in cruise mode, and the truck was doing about 90, and then almost took me out sideways when she realised the truck was approaching her.
We don't like that, Bill. That's not the way to go.
Where are you going for a frothy today, Marco, now?
The old Ponds pub, mate, going down the ponds with the boys.
Yeah, he's avoiding the Cremorne, Bill, and so he should. You overcharge for your bloody pots and your palmies. Let's get to Stewie in Sunbury, Bill.
Stewie.
Hey, guys, I'm a truckie as well, and I was driving the other day through the tunnel, and I noticed the sticker on the back of a truck. Always take notice of these things. Do not overtake turning vehicle, etc. The sticker said, caution, this vehicle may move in a forward and backward motion. Oh. And I was like, no duh. I just thought that was the most stupidest sticker ever. I thought it might have been a joke.
That's distinct from any other vehicle. Exactly. I like it. Stay there, Stewie. Nick's in Eltham. Hello, Nick.
G'day, Jim. G'day, Fred. How you going?
Yeah, good, Nicky boy.
Good. The other year, I was taking my little disabled brother to the footy on a Friday night to see the Blue Baggers, and we're lining up to get a ticket, and you would not believe it, this guy had a white rabbit sitting on his shoulder.
Going into the G?
Going into the G.
Jeez.
A white rabbit.
A white rabbit. We thought we were seeing things, but no, we weren't.
That's amazing. Wow. That is unusual, Bill. I've never seen a white rabbit on anyone's shoulder at the G.
You know what his name was, Jim?
What?
Warren.
Oh, no. Aaron's in Deer Park. Stay there, Nick. Say hello to Aaron, Bill.
Huzzah!
Jim, Billy, how are you?
Good, mate.
Good, as how are you? You're up and about?
Oh, up and about, finished work, mate.
Perfect. Friday gets no better than that, as. What have you seen unusual?
Oh, about half an hour ago, I was driving through Sunshine and seen a bloke strip down to his jocks in the rain in the Bow Repairs car park.
What was he doing?
Oh, God only knows. It's Sunshine, mate.
That's good, though.
bloke in his jock shin.
Just walking around in the rain, Bill. Mark's in Reservoir. Hello, Marco.
How you going?
What have you seen unusual?
A couple of years ago, I was in Bali and saw two dogs joined at the bum.
Siamese dogs.
Why were they joined?
Sorry?
How come they were joined, do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Obviously came out like that at birth, Bill.
Well, yeah, you reckon they were born like that?
Yeah, obviously.
Pretty hard to lick each other's nurries, I would have thought. Joined at the bum.
Oh, gee,
how can they do that, Bill?
Well, I don't know.
That's one of the great pleasures of a dog.
A good dog will do that, Jim.
Stay there like that, Marco. Tom's in Whittlesea. Tommy?
Tom.
Hey, boys. How are you going?
Good.
That's good. I was driving down Eckers Road in Somerston the other day, and I saw a man mowing his front nature strip wearing a suit.
Wearing a suit? We call them front vergers in Perth, Bill.
Nature strip. You flog. We're in Melbourne.
Wearing a suit, Bill.
Wearing a suit.
I know. Sam's in Ferntree Gully. Sam?
Hello, guys. How are you going?
Sammy.
I was just going down Victoria Parade right now, and there is a guy on a motorbike with a chick on the back, and she's wearing a mini skirt with high heels on.
In this weather?
In this weather.
Cool. Where exactly?
Where am I? I don't know. Just on Victoria Parade.
This is Bill Sam, who's in Adelaide at the minute, so that's how bad he's going. So
there. Mini skirt on. That'd be nice and high, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. There's another one, another Nick from Eltham, second one in this group. Hello, Nick.
How you are, mate?
Good, mate. What about the things you've seen unusual?
Well, it's pissing down rain at 2 o'clock today. Look down at my phone. Boss has messaged me. Go home.
Oh, yes.
How good's that?
That is magnificent. What do you do, Nick?
Conservationist.
Perfect.
What does that mean?
well, I kill weeds and preserve the native flora and fauna in Australia and stuff like that.
Good for
so
you.
So you're a gardener?
More or less.
Bill, I don't give a stuff what he does. His boss has said at 2 o'clock he can go home.
But Nick reckons he's a conservationist, Jim, and he's a glorified bloody gardener. Come on, Nick.
What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell. Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Very nice to have everyone's company. Of course, big second hour coming up. Nice big second hour coming up, in fact.
Yeah.
We got Suburban Song next. Yes. Then we got Simon the Wizard Whitlock. And then we've got Chris Judd.
Oh, Juddy.
So it's a massive hour. Now, Bill. Social media, Nick Quinn, of course, the man with the ill-fitting suit.
And?
Yes?
Another joke, Jim. This will be free from free today. Don't worry about that.
Now, what we do, Bill, is we give away a prize for social media, the best feedback we get. Yes, now, we used to do this a fair bit when it was the Wolfpack back in the footy days.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, Bill, we can build people up.
Yes.
And we can make them suburban heroes with their feedback. But if they wander into smart-ass territory, which Marcus Rogash is threatening to do,
he is, we can
get rid of him that quickly, Bill, that no one will ever hear from him again.
While he's drawing
breath. So I'm just firing one across the bow of Marcus.
Oh.
Tidy your feedback up or you will never, ever be mentioned again on this station.
We've
got a top three here.
Yep.
Chris GD. Talking about things they've seen unusual. Seen a bloke regularly who used to vacuum his lawn. That's unusual.
Who? Juddy did that?
Yeah, Chris GD. JD. We've also got Elliot Coleman. Yeah. Saw a guy walking his sheep along the Frankston beach.
Now that's different.
That's different. But funnily enough, Bill, grumpy old man Brad wins.
Oh.
Talking about what have you seen unusual? Watching footy from Ugg Boot Stadium.
Yeah.
And saw the ump pay a free kick against the Cats.
Oh, good.
Thought
one,
to myself,
baby.
That's unusual.
Oh, don't jump on that. Nice. Barmy.
Grumpy old man Brad.
Neil Barm and Kevin Bartlett whinging about the umpires too.
Grumpy old man worse. Brad, I don't care about any of that. I'm just saying that's our winner, Bill. He wins the Nina and Pasadena pack.
Good on him. So, do you know Richmond can still finish ninth?
They can't about this finish. The other That's day, absolute Jim. Rubbish, Bill. They cannot they can. Finish ninth.
If they get beaten by Freo, which could happen.
By how much?
About five goals, which could happen over Bill. There.
Yes.
And then if St Kilda beat them.
By how much?
10 goals.
Bill, they not losing their next two games by a total of 90 plus points.
They
are not finishing ninth. There's no chance of that. They will play in the finals, Bill, and we can't wait for them to play in there too. And
because
huge big crowd at the Triple MCG, the yellow and black, the song and everything. They'll be fine.
That is true.
No, we're looking forward to that. Now, Bill.
Yes.
Just stand by because we've got a nice big hour. This is a juicy hour. Juicy. All right?
Okay, Jim.
I've told you what's coming up. Get ready for it. But I'm next, Suburban Song, and it's about a famous an iconic Melbourne suburb. Bill, the Suburban Song, we know how good it's been. You get online, triplem.com.au, choose a suburb, pick a song, and write your lyrics. And if it's good enough for our man Rusty, of course, of Scared Weird Little Guy's fame, he will actually record this song for you, or when we can get him, because he's a very busy man. He comes in live and performs it for us. And this one, Bill, has come from Julietta, and she has written her suburban song about the suburb of St Kilda. I said going in, this is iconic.
St Kilda.
Now, I think Julietta might be on the phone. Is she Leroy? Let's get her on. Julietta.
Hello.
Now, you wrote this. Tell us the song you've written the lyric to.
All These Things That I Have Done by The Killers.
Oh, magnificent song. By the way, The Killers, of course, are going to be at the grand final headlining. Did you know that?
Yeah, we won't be there, but anyway.
Why not? Who do you support? The Saints?
The Saints?
Well, you're a chance to get into the eight.
Yes, Billy, I love your theory. Thank you very much. Finish ninth again, Richmond.
There we are.
And the Saints go in. How long I've you lived it. In St Kilda, Romeo and Julietta?
Oh, never heard that one before. quite a long time, a long time. I lived in Sydney for a little while. Came to my senses and came back to St Kilda. So I've been here, pretty long time.
All right, Julietta. Well, All These Things That I've Done is a magnificent song by The Killers. The suburb is St Kilda. Have a listen. We'll get your thoughts on it afterwards from Rusty. Here we go.
Lots of junkies, but now it's yummy mummies with gigantic prams and four-wheel drivers who never take a tram. And the Saints have moved to Seaford, and that is such a sham. This is St Kilda by the Bay. We'd love the Saints to be back up here someday, but at least Moorabbin is not too far away.
Well, closer than Seaford anyway.
The Gatwick's closed up, the block will zhuzh it up, and maybe Josh Bruce will buy the penthouse and hopefully fix his goal kicking, which is really shit house, and tell his teammates that a kick through the goals would actually be good sometimes.
This is St Kilda by the Bay. We love the Saints to be back up here someday, but at least Moorabbin was not too far away.
Closer than f***ing Seaford.
Well, that's a good point because it's quite a long way down to Seaford there. Anyway, sing it.
There's no Saints, but this is St Kilda. There's no Saints, but this is St Kilda. And there's no Saints, but this is St Kilda. And there's no Saints, but this is St Kilda. And there's no Saints, but this is St Kilda. And there's no Saints, but this is St Kilda.
Jules! What'd you think?
What an effort. Oh, my goodness. He does go to some
trouble. Brilliant, Rusty. He's absolutely brilliant.
And nailed Jim, the yummy mummies.
Yeah, with the oversized prams.
Yes.
Yep. Jules, it's hurt you that the Saints have gone down to Seaford by the sound of it.
Well, my history is with Moorabbin. It'd be lovely to see a at the junction, but that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, the Warmerabin, they're back. I think end of 17, early 2018, I think the Saints are permanently back there. Archie Fraser, is that right, Bill? Was he the CEO?
Yep.
I reckon, Arch, if I was to say anything to Archie Fraser, I would suggest he never wanders through the suburb of St Kilda again in his time.
People will Rod lynch Butters, him. Was Rod Butters president, maybe?
I can't remember that. I remember Arch was the of the CEO who decided it was a good idea to get him out of there. And, as I say, this might be the least popular thing anyone's ever done attached to that club. So they're fixing it anyway, Jules, which is good news.
They are, and Joshy's going to fix his kicking, and we're going to be great next
good
year.
Good work.
So, we'll get your boys on Sunday.
Be very careful with that, please, because the Kangaroos have been known to rear guard it of late, so we'll keep it a close eye. Well, hey, Jules, I thought that was brilliant. Well done.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. All right, from Suburban Songs to Simon Whitlock, the Wizard.
The Wizard.
Have a look at him. You can't see him from there.
Where is he, Jim? Is that him with the long hair, the ponytail?
He's got the dreadlock ponytail hanging out the back.
Come on, Wizard.
Come on, Wizard. It's on tonight, of course, the big darts contest. We're going to speak to him next.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Australia, the former world finalist and former European champion, time for some magic from the Wizard, Simon Whitlock!
Yes, Jimmy boy.
Have a listen to this, Bill.
I know, I love it.
Now, we've got the Wizard in here with us.
Yep.
And we're in the presence of darts royalty.
Royalty, Jim.
Wizard, welcome to you. Even though it's Simon, we're going to call you Wizard. I hope that's all right.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, mate, tonight it starts. Let's get the business out of the way first before we pick your brains. Hisense Arena tonight. You can still get tickets via Ticketek. Melbourne Darts Masters through to the 20th. It's going to be massive. How are you feeling going into it?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I was a bit unlucky last week in New Zealand, but, you know, dart-wise, I'm actually playing quite well.
They're coming out all right, are they?
Yeah, they're coming out fine. I'm just missing a few doubles here and there by a whisker, but, you know, that's darts for you. It's a game of millimetres.
It is indeed, exactly. And so how often do you, if you're having a bad run, do you practice more or you say, nah, that's it, I'm not practicing?
It's just a feeling, you know. If you feel like you need to practice, then you will. If you feel like your game's good, then you probably won't. But I practice a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Now, Wizard, the production around what happens in the darts, I think, is absolutely superb. Yes. It's like world wrestling. It's just brilliant. You get the big crowds pumping, the music, as we just heard, the play on, out come yourself or Phil the Power Taylor, whoever it is, and it's just gold. Has it always been at that level, or is that a thing that we've built to in 2017?
I think ever since I've been in it, it's been that big, but I think it's getting bigger. You know, week to week, our game's getting bigger. It's expanding to different countries with this World Series. So our promoter, Barry Hearn's doing a fantastic job of promoting our game and getting it more worldwide.
So the more noise and the more music, the better?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't hear the noise that much when we're actually playing. We just get in our zone and we focus, and we don't even notice the crowd when we're playing.
What about and all the cards and the boys holding them up? And I mean, it's a circus, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, it's a great big party, really. But, you know, we're up there to do a professional job, and that's what we do.
But you walk out too with the girls and you get all pumped up, so you join in the party for a while before you put the serious head on.
Yeah, I mean, before we walk up, we're enjoying it, but once we get on that stage, we just lock into a zone and we focus on what we got to do.
What I love, Wizard, and I don't see it all the time, but there's one bloke who does the announcing who sounds like Brian Johnson, the lead singer of AC/DC. So you've always given it, it's got someone screaming out the 180, but this bloke's got the real gravelly 180. Who's he? Is he well known?
That's Russ Bray, yes, very well known, and he does add advertisements in the UK and stuff.
Why doesn't he do all the events? He's just picks and chooses?
Well, no, he does do a lot of the events, but we have more than one referee. We've got, you know, four or five professional referees, so they don't just do one match, so they'll share it.
Oh, right, so there's my ignorance showing. I thought he was just announcing the scores. He's actually refereeing at the same time.
Yeah, he's refereeing, and we've got multiple referees.
Does he smoke, like, seriously, four or five packs a day?
I don't know.
Russ, he would have to. To get that voice, he would have to.
But also very good math-wise, Jim.
Yes.
Because you got to add up the triples and the doubles, don't you? So you got to be good at math.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you are you?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at maths.
Yeah. Where's the mecca of darts? Because the MCG here, you know, Aussie Rules here, where would be the home of darts?
Oh, it's obviously the UK.
Is there a green
one venue?
A pub or a venue?
Probably at the Ali Pally at the moment. That's where we have our world championship. So that's where it's the biggest at the moment.
All right, Wizard, I want you to stick around. There's more questions I've got for you. Yes. Can you hang around for us?
Yeah, no
Bill,
problem.
This is Simon the Wizard Whitlock.
I know.
And I read in his own website here.
Yes.
Best darts player ever to come from the Southern Hemisphere.
Very humble.
Cannot be questioned.
Very humble.
More with the Wizard next on the Rush Hour.
Special guest Simon the Wizard Whitlock.
Yes, we thank you very much for that. We have got the Wizard with us. The big tournament tonight, High Sense.
I just read it. Best darts player ever to come from the Southern Hemisphere. That's off your website.
Really? Well, I don't know if I'm the best, but
well,
I probably,
who else?
I no probably earned the most money at darts, and yeah. I don't know if I've been the most successful. I've won a lot of tournaments.
How many do you reckon you've
won? I'm not sure. I think I won about 17 ranked tournaments, which is pretty good. One major.
Righto. And you're living in the UK now?
Yeah, I've been there for 9 years roughly now.
Ooh, right. And you, for those who don't know, he looks like Brett Lee with a long goatee.
Tell us about the look, Wizard, because you have had this look for a while now. You got the hair down the back in the dreadlock sort of, but tied up dreadlock, and then the Wizard beard. Where did you start this going?
Probably when I left home and I decided I was going to cut my own hair, but I couldn't see the back, so I only cut the front. So I've been cutting my hair ever since I was about 18.
Yeah, well, it's become a brand. Yeah. That's what it has. Hey, Bill, I want to ask about Phil the Power Taylor.
Yeah.
Is Phil the Power Taylor, Wizard, the Don Bradman of darts?
Yes, absolutely. Best player to walk the planet, but form-wise, I think Michael Van Gerwen's probably, he's done a lot, and his game has probably gone to another level what Phil's had, but Phil never had to do what Michael's doing now. But,
right.
Yeah.
His and record, 14 world championships, by the way, Bill. 14.
16.
16, I reckon. Get it right, Bill. 16.
16, I was going to say. Can you still have a beer?
No.
That's not in the rules.
We're not allowed to drink, no.
No?
No.
Oh, in the good old days you used to, didn't you? In the pubs and that?
But the sport's smartened up now. It's much more professional than 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Will you ever go to a pub game in disguise? I mean, hard for you. Yeah. But and just completely reef everyone's money away.
Like they do at pool.
Yep.
Pool shark.
I don't really go in pubs, believe it or not.
Really?
Oh. Yep.
Come on. True
story. Too hard?
I just don't like pubs. You know, I'd rather practice at home.
Meet some nice girls there. Wiz?
I've got a girlfriend.
Took him a while to come up with that, Jimmy boy. Hey, how about the Melbourne Darts Masters on tonight, of course, 7 o'clock. What's the purse there? How much do we win this if you can get through and win it? Good coin?
I think it's 20 grand.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Put it in the pot. Not bad. £20,000.
£20,000?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good work. Hey, and there's a couple of up-and-coming Aussies, because you've been the one flying the flag for a long, long time, but we've got some good Aussies coming through.
Absolutely. I mean, Kyle Anderson, who won in New Zealand, beat Corey Cadby in the final. Corey Cadby's probably the best player I've ever seen come from Australia. But
great.
He's got a massive future in front of him. He's just like the next Michael Van Gerwen.
And he lives in Melbourne, doesn't he, Corey?
Yeah, he's living in Melbourne. I think he's from Tassie originally. I used to play against his old man, believe it or not.
How old are you?
Only 48.
48? Shit, you've done it hard.
That's coming from Bill, by the way. Hey, Wizard, what about the celebrating? That's the other thing. I mean, Bill mentioned Brett Lee with the chainsaw when he used to take the wickets. You guys are now starting to put plenty of that into the game as well. Yeah. After you win, some nice work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to put your opponent down a bit, put him on the back foot, show him who's boss, you know, that sort of thing. It's all about intimidation.
Mm. Have you ever got a 9-darter, Jim, which is you start at 501, and this is the greatest of all time. If you can get 9 darts down to, what do you call it, checkout or something.
Find out what it is,
checking
Bill, before
out.
We ask the question.
I've had 11 in competition.
11.
And 2 on TV, so if you want to go on YouTube, you can watch.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's just, you're on fire then, isn't it? 9-darter. Oh,
yeah, that was in the O2 Arena, one of them.
Beautiful.
In front of 10,000
people. Oh, they go berserk, don't they?
was amazing. One of the best feelings I've ever had.
You would have been swaggering around like Viv Richards.
More like Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt. Oh, hello. Is it nice to be home? Well, Cessnock, back in Australia?
Yeah, I love being back in Oz. You know, I get to see some friends and family.
And your support you'll get tonight will be nuts?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping so. I've always got it against me when I'm in the UK and Germany and that, you know. So it'd be nice to get some home support.
Do they still give it to us over there? Because Australia have dominated England at everything forever. Yeah. So they've got this inferiority complex that they've bloody earned the Poms. Every time you get up, do they give it to you?
I'll tell you what, when we held the Ashes, I got it big time. Yeah, not so much these days.
Well, don't worry. After this summer, you'll get
you'll
it.
You'll be right.
Yeah, we'll give it a nice pounding. Hey, great to meet you, Wizard. You are an absolute superstar. Make sure you get along tonight. High Sense Arena. Still tickets available from Ticketek for the Melbourne Darts Masters 18 tonight, obviously through the 20th. So get stuck into that. And it's great you're back supporting our tour. Well done.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
105.1, Triple M's Rush Hour. James Brayshaw's in Melbourne with Billy Brownless in Adelaide.
Now, what happens on a Friday? Well, most times, Bill, is our magnificent call team head to the ground and call the game and do a fantastic job of that. But every now and then interstate, well, that's certainly how it used to be in a previous incarnation. Every now and then the show would be done from Melbourne.
Yes.
Most times you'd travel, but every now and then the show would be done from here. But the modern team, Bill, basically seemed to have an aversion for getting on a plane.
Well, certainly one bloke does.
So what I'm deciding to do is the pre-show from a luxurious residence in Brighton owned by the one and only dual Brownlow medal-winning superstar Chris Judd, who I think we have on the line. Christopher.
JB.
We're taking the show on the road to Brighton.
Yeah.
Yes, looking forward to it. Good to have you guys on the line. I think what people sometimes forget is just how incredibly busy I am. And I don't have time to be travelling around the country for a sporting event. So we're bringing the game to the Cave, and I think, you know, it's only fair that the listeners get to experience a little bit of what life's like in the Cave.
You are feeding them a flog. So what about tonight? last time you were in the Cave, Juddy, you had a mask on and a smoking jacket. What can we get tonight?
Well, it was full ceremonial dress last time, and I felt a little bit embarrassed for the others who didn't probably treat the dress code with the respect it deserved. So everyone will be in the ceremonial dress tonight. Right. We'll have the great Luke Hodge making his Cave debut, which will be a real treat for the Cave. And we'll just be doing our usual routine, but very, very much looking forward to it.
Oh, part of that magnificent Uber draft back in 2000, was it, Juddy?
Uber.
2001.
That's when we
got picked up. So that'd be good. I don't know if Todd, you'd be bringing a bottle of red.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you next
tonight.
Because what happens is you have laid an expectation out there that very, very good quality red is brought to the table. Naif Brown, who I wouldn't have had in that category, brought a bottle of Grange last time. Yes.
There's been allegations he stole that from somewhere, but we had to prove that. But I mean, really, I think if you're not old enough to vote, you're not old enough to be drunk in the Cave. I think that's sort of phase one. Right. So a good age red and something from maybe a first vine from France or maybe one of the classic Australian reds I thought would do.
Well, when I look down the list here, Juddy, I see, actually I know Hodgie knows a bit about red because he's been at Hawthorn and they actually do like a drop at that club. So he would know a bit about it, but he can't get involved, of course, because playing. So
what about Howie?
Howie, I know for a fact has no idea.
Damien?
The Duke, I know for a fact has no idea. Damo, very good.
Good operator, Damo. Yeah,
I'd expect a good drop out of him. And Naif, second up, will interest me.
No, he will. He will. But the Duke needs to step up. He let himself down, him and his family down last time. He bought a sort of a red that you'd feel comfortable slashing in a bolognese sauce, not sort of drinking in a Cave. So he certainly needs a lift.
Especially given he's originally from Adelaide, so he should know half. And he's in the entertainment sort of catering business.
Greedy, JB. No one's earning more. You know, it wouldn't hurt him to dig in his pocket a little bit.
No, that's true.
Well, you probably are. I would have thought you were. Hey, keep an eye on Damien Barrett tonight too, because last night he had the chat with Rod Butters. He was very, very happy with that, of course. And he had the other news there with
Chris Yaron.
Chris Yaron, thank you, Jim. So he was very happy with himself last night, Judd. So he was walking around as though he had a tin.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I look forward to seeing him up on his toes there. But he always is number one newsbreaker in the competition, so he's always
Always bring something to the table.
What time do you think you're going to tip them out, this motley crew?
Well, last time, once the big nose producer started falling asleep, I thought it was time to call it a night. But he's got a few things on it, the big nose producer. I'm not sure if he'll be hanging around.
He's got a baby due any second.
Any second. So we'll watch the game and see how lively things get after that.
He should be able to smell the wine pretty well.
I would have thought so.
Enormous conk.
Jim, you know he's having a baby too today. Man Tyson Goldsack, remember?
Yes, that's true. Would have had it by now.
He would have. And you'll see you're up in the snow during the week. A couple of meetings up there, Juddy.
Flat out, Billy, up there. Very, very busy. But that was we had a great few days up at Falls Creek. So,
who'd you go with?
I went with the two eldest kids and my folks. So we were in an apartment. Then I had a few mates that I grew up with. They were sort of... I was in the adult's house, and they start acting like adults. They can come into the adult house, but for the time being, they isolated themselves down there. But it was very good fun.
Hey, the old man there. He would have been looking for a bar and a tap.
Andy from Sandy was there. I think he got a bet on, but he found a couple of VBs to sneak into the apartment. So he's very content.
Juddy, before we do ask you about tonight's game, tell us how Beck, the beautiful Beck, goes with his motley crew wandering into her magnificent palatial home.
I don't think she's overly impressed, particularly when she found out I was out stocking up on masks for everyone. She sort of had a mild look of disgust across her face for that. But, she won't see him, to be honest, JB. There's instructions to go through the cave entrance, and she'll be none the wiser. She'll be up there with the four kids, and I'm sure she'll be working on a charcuterie plate or something else to make sure all our needs are satiated.
Very nice. Now, listen, tonight is a massive game. Let's just focus on that for a second. Sydney, if they can get up over Adelaide, can book themselves a top four spot.
Yeah, a huge game. I think I heard you guys mention before that the winner becomes the premiership favourites, and I'd probably tumble into that as well. Both teams are playing really good footy. Sydney's ability to defend really versus Adelaide's ability to score. So it's going to be a huge one, and I'm just leaning to Adelaide, considering it's over at their home ground.
Well, it still seems to be some talk about Rory Sloane coming out of this game. I hear whispers out of Adelaide. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's still being spoken about. Hey, Juddy, we're going to let you go, but good luck tonight. I hope it goes very well. I've noticed the no-travel policy just gets stronger and stronger as the year kicks on.
I learned from the best, JB.
I never had that much pull at this place. Enjoy the night. Don't let the place get trashed, and we'll speak to you shortly.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Judd's a superstar. What about
I want
that
to go pool? To that cave,
too. No. Hodge, Naif Brown, Darcy, Barrett, and Howie. Ooh, would you let that group into your joint?
I would, yes. But no. I don't know if Beck would. I think you're right there.
Yeah. So no.
It wouldn't be. Especially Naif Brown. He'd probably take something, you know? Take a picture or a vase or something like that.
What, and actually leave the house with it?
Leave the house with it, Jim.
All right, Bill. Yep. Something humorous?
Probably not. But anyway.
In the day with the laugh. This is Billy's joke. Melbourne Brick. 30% off first quality 500x500 Melbourne stone pavers. Offer in soon.
Here we go.
We'll just have two today.
No, this is a Friday, so we finish with a bang.
Jimmy, how do you get a dog to stop barking in the front seat?
How?
Put him in the back seat.
Oh, no.
Bang!
That can't be a joke.
He'll stop barking, won't he, Jim, in the front seat?
Oh, no. That is just horrendous. So what
All
else?
Right, another little one to warm the cockles of your heart,
Bill,
Jimmy
this is
boy.
Friday. This is the last words we say before Monday.
And they should be sorry. Jim, I just found out my local barber has been arrested for selling drugs.
Really?
I've been a customer of his for 15 years, and I didn't even know he cut hair.
Oh, no. Bill.
What do you think?
You saved your worst for last, and that's saying something.
No, they're good.
No, they're not.
All right. No. I've had a good week on the jokes. It's been a very, very good week again.
You've ended on a horribly bad note. So let's get Plastic involved.
Come on, Plastic.
Just so sad for the millions of Rush Hour faithful.
What are you doing now, Jim?
What am I doing?
Well,
I'm trying
to
wash those jokes out of my head.
Have a smell, fat.
Billy, who do they barrack for, mate?
Yes.
Who do they barrack for?
Who do you work for?
No, barrack for.
Who do you barrack for?
That was the Rush Hour catch-up.
Finish up the night, Bill.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.